Good for us to be able to assemble ourselves together again on this, the Lord's Day, and to study and worship. It's been good to have Paige and my mother here this weekend. They got in Wednesday and are, I understand they're going to be leaving, heading out as soon as services are over this afternoon. So I went and found the longest sermon that I have. That's not true, and I hope we're not thinking that when we're finished with our study tonight. But it's been good to have them here, and I know you'll be praying for them to have a safe return. I want to talk for a few moments this afternoon on what the Bible has to say about the sin of hypocrisy. The picture on the slide before us is of some of the ruins that are outside the city of Myra. This is one of the cities that Paul visited very briefly while he was en route to Rome, as we read in the book of Acts chapter 27. And these ruins that we have, the picture that we have here is just one of, I understand, several that are there that were a part of the theater complex of that city. And these would have been the Greek theater mask that adorned not just this theater, but all the theaters of the ancient Roman and Greek world. The theater was a very prominent part of that culture. Now, why would we have a picture of theater mask as we're talking about the sin of hypocrisy? In the New Testament, the words hypocrite and hypocrisy are translated from a family of words that refer to an actor or one who is playing a part. The word hypocrite is based on the Greek theatrical words that mean actor or to play a part. The essential identity of hypocrites, therefore, is that they pretend to be something they are not. And in a play, in a theatrical production, that's all well and good. But in real life, that is actually something that was condemned very sharply by the Lord. If you look to Matthew chapter 23, and we will look at that passage a few times in our study, you'll see that the Lord reserved His harshest condemnation for the scribes and the Pharisees whom He exposed as being hypocrites there in that chapter and in other passages as well. In the biblical sense, a hypocrite is someone who's pretending to be someone that they are not, a person whose actions contradict their stated beliefs. What I want to do for our study this afternoon is very simple. I want to look at what it is that makes hypocrisy a sin that was so worthy of our Lord's condemnation. We're going to look at five things about hypocrisy that cause it to be condemned. And then we're going to look at how we can overcome hypocrisy. If we realize that we have a problem with this in our lives, that we try to put up a front, that we try to portray ourselves as being something that we are not, what are some things that we can do to overcome hypocrisy if we discover that we have a problem with that? And there are five things under that heading that we're going to look at this afternoon as well. But first, let's talk about what is so bad about hypocrisy. Well, first and foremost, hypocrisy is actually a form of lying. If you think about it, quite simply, that's what hypocrisy is. If you're in a play, if you're an actor playing a part, then being someone that you're not is something that would be expected. But in real life, portraying yourself as something or someone that you are not is actually deception, or an effort to deceive, and it is in fact a lie. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says that when some depart from the faith, they will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. They will be hypocrites and they will be speaking lies. If you think about it, one who's living a lie, and that's what a hypocrite is, one who is living a lie can very easily speak a lie. It will just come naturally to such an individual. Proverbs 11, verse 9 says that the hypocrite destroys people with their tongue, with their mouth. So it is a lie. Hypocrisy is a lie. That's exactly what Satan did to Eve. When Satan came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he acted like he was concerned for Eve. Well, this is a restriction. God not allowing you to eat the fruit of this particular tree, God is holding you back. And he left the impression that if she would just eat that fruit, then she could be like God. So he presented himself as someone who cared about Eve and was interested in Eve, but his real intention was to destroy her. He was playing the hypocrite. He was lying. He was deceiving. So there's the problem with hypocrisy. One of the reasons that the Lord condemns it so strongly is that it is a form of lying. Secondly, hypocrisy taints true love. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. That is, don't fake your concern for your brethren. Don't fake it. Don't act like you love them. Don't act like you care about them. Either do or don't. But don't carry on and act. We must love from a pure heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a sincere heart, from a non-hypocritical heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The hypocrite doesn't do this. The hypocrite will act like they're loving. They may even show this in good deeds towards others, but their motives are not pure. And that's not the kind of love that we are to have. When the hypocrite is discovered, doesn't it taint everything good that they've done? When it's discovered that someone is actually not who they portrayed themselves to be, and you look back at everything that they did and everything that they said, doesn't that leave a sour taste in your mouth? That's exactly what hypocrisy does. Whatever good may have been done is tainted with that lie. It's tainted with that sin. Third, hypocrisy actually does great harm to the cause of Christ. Have you ever heard anyone say, oh, the church is full of hypocrites? Thanks for the invitation, but no thanks. I don't have any interest in going to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Well, for one, I have never seen a church that was full of hypocrites. I've seen hypocrites in churches before, but I've never seen a whole building full of them before. So the church is not full of hypocrites, but doesn't it really just take one to leave a sour taste in your mouth? Really, it does. It only leaves one. But oftentimes that charge, the church is full of hypocrites, is really just an excuse. The person has no interest in going to church. And so they'll grab whatever excuse is handy, but sometimes we're guilty of giving them the excuse. If we've been a hypocrite, we've given them the excuse. Such actions. Christians who fail to be what they are supposed to be. Such actions have a negative impact upon efforts to spread the gospel and to save the lost. Now, I would like to make this clarification. A lack of perfection on the part of Christians is not hypocrisy. Because we are all going to sin and fall short. I tell people that the church, the local church, is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We all fall short. So lack of perfection should not be held up as an example of hypocrisy. But hypocrisy does exist from time to time in the lives of those who claim to be Christians. They present themselves as being one thing, and then in reality they are living, pursuing very strongly a life that is contrary to the teachings of Christ. That is hypocrisy. We read, or had read for us a few moments ago from Romans chapter 2, the condemnation against the Jews. Now, the Gentiles were guilty of gross immorality. We see that in Romans chapter 1. And the Gentiles stand condemned before God because of their sins against God. But the Jews weren't any better off, because the Jews had a knowledge of God, and they had God's law, and they taught God's law, and they defended God's law, but they didn't keep it. They didn't keep it. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Do you commit adultery? Do you rob idols' temples? Do you dishonor God? Yes, they were doing all those things. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Hypocrisy. So that was their sin that they were charged with. And it's our sin that we can be charged with if we are trying to live that double life. If we try to live with one foot in the kingdom of God and another foot in the sinful world, unbelievers are going to see that God is not first in our lives, that our faith is not real, that the teachings of the Lord are not worth following completely, and they're not going to have any interest in obeying the gospel. It's not going to take long before brethren realize it as well. And then we're going to kind of be caught as men without a country, really with nowhere to go. That's what happens when we try to have the best of both worlds. The gospel never calls for us to do that. The gospel calls for us to come out of the world and be separate from the world, not to live the life of a hypocrite. Another problem that we see with hypocrisy, the Bible tells us that like any other sin, hypocrisy is contagious. Not only does the hypocritical Christian have a negative influence upon unbelievers, but also has a negative influence upon believers. In Galatians chapter 2, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. You know, many of us identify with the Apostle Peter because of all the mistakes that he made. And here's one of them, Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." See, Peter, for a time when he first came to Antioch of Syria, where there was a large number of Gentiles in the church, when he first got there, he would eat with the Gentiles. He would treat them as if everything was okay. But when some others showed up from Jerusalem, he backed away. Backed away from the Gentile converts, and he was acting the hypocrite, acting one way when they were gone, acting another way when they were there. Not only did this have a negative impact upon the Gentile Christians there, but we're told specifically that he encouraged or influenced some of the other Jewish Christians to play the hypocrite with him, most notably Barnabas. This is the only negative thing that is said about Barnabas in all of the New Testament, is that on this occasion he played the hypocrite with Peter. A man that is held up in the Scriptures as being the son of encouragement, whose first inclination is to encourage and to help, even he got carried away in this hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, just like any sin, can be contagious. In the Bible, the word leaven is used to refer to the spreading influence of sin. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, you need to put away that fornicator, you need to cast out the old leaven. You need to get that leaven out of the lump so that you can be pure. Well, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, Jesus identifies the leaven of the Pharisees as hypocrisy. That's the influence that they're going to have on you, he tells his disciples. So you don't get enamored with the Pharisees. You don't think you need to buddy up with the Pharisees. You don't look to the Pharisees to try to find commendable things to follow, because such is dangerous. Their influence is going to lead you to play the hypocrite. See, hypocrisy is contagious. And one more thing about hypocrisy that we need to take note of is that hypocrisy will be punished. We won't take the time to read it, but in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Ananias and Sapphira, we know, are struck dead by God in the church. And the reason is because they lied. You've not lied to men, but you've lied to God, Peter tells Ananias. Now, did they come in and tell a bold-faced lie? Well, they did lie whenever they answered the question that Peter proposed before them. Here's what was happening, though. Chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, immediately follows Acts chapter 4, where Barnabas is introduced as one who sold a possession and gave it all to the church so that it could be shared with brethren who had need. Ananias and Sapphira saw that, saw the attention that these benevolent, generous Christians were getting. They sold a piece of land, they kept back a part of it for themselves, and they gave the rest, but they gave it as if they were giving everything. You see, they wanted credit for being completely and totally generous, and at the same time having some money folded up in their pocket. They were being hypocrites. They were pretending to be something that they weren't, and they wanted credit for doing something that they didn't do. And they fell dead before the Lord. It was punished. That was the first sin in the church. Hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives a parable. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, the last verse of this chapter, talks about the unfaithful servant who's not paying attention, not doing what he should when the Lord returns, when his master returns. Says he'll come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware of it, verse 51, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as you followed through the Gospel of Matthew to this point, you know the weeping and gnashing of teeth is associated with outer darkness and unquenchable fire. This is hell. And that's where this servant is going to end up. And notice, he's sharing his portion with the hypocrites. That's where the hypocrites are going to end up. The hypocrites are going to end up in hell, in torment. Remember that hypocrisy is a lie. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, every form of lie, including living a lie, including hypocrisy. And that should get our attention. There are some things here, the Scriptures show us very plainly what is wrong with hypocrisy. Well, identifying what hypocrisy is and showing us why it's wrong doesn't help us a lot. There's not been any great revelation in what we've studied so far. I think most of us have understood most of these things we've looked at so far. But we wouldn't be doing ourselves any good at all if we didn't look at what the Bible has to say about overcoming the sin of hypocrisy. Something I try to do when we look at specific sins, I try to look at what the Bible says about what we can do to try to overcome those sins. Well, the first thing we need to consider, if we have a problem with hypocrisy, if we have a problem with presenting ourselves as being someone that we really aren't, because we're trying to hide sin in our life and cover it up, really what we need to do is repent of that sin. We need to repent of that sin and turn away from it and stop committing it. That's one reason some people play the hypocrite, is to hide the sin in their life. Judas acted pious. Judas acted like he cared about the poor. And he did this in an attempt to cover up the fact that he was covetous and he was a thief. In John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, when Jesus is anointed at Bethany, and Mary comes out with this pound of a very costly perfume and begins to anoint Jesus with it. One of his disciples, verse 4, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Shame on that woman for doing this. Shame on you, Lord, for allowing all this to happen. The poor are going to go without because of this. But verse 6 says, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." What Judas needed to do, he needed to repent of his thievery, is what he needed to do. He had sin in his life. He had sinful motives in his heart. And that's what led him to do what he did right here. He played the hypocrite because he coveted that money. Instead, what he should have done is repented of his sin. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, they put a lot of effort into looking like they were righteous. But they didn't care about their hearts. And the Lord gave some instruction regarding this. Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." The Lord's addressing two things here. He's addressing that the outer customary act that they had of cleaning the outside of their dishes. They cleaned everything for fear of contaminating themselves. But when the Lord says that the inside of the cup is full of extortion and self-indulgence, he's not talking about drinking cups. He's talking about their heart. And he's condemning them. He's exposing them, saying, if you would clean your heart, then you would be clean outwardly as well. You know, if you'll draw that sink full of hot soapy water, and you'll put the dish down into that water, and you'll cleanse the inside of that cup, what's naturally going to happen to the outside? It's going to get clean as well. And if we'll put the focus on our heart, and we'll clean the sin out of our heart, if we'll repent, then the outside, we won't have to put on a show. We'll live the way that we're supposed to live. We'll have our lives pointed in the right direction. We'll be living the way we're supposed to live. We won't have to put on a show. We will be what we should be. So perhaps you find yourself playing the hypocrite because you're trying to hide a sin in your life. Repent of the sin. Repent and live the life that God would have you to live. Secondly, some Christians play the hypocrite because they're conflicted between trying to please both God and man. And the Lord makes it very clear that we cannot divide our loyalty between two masters. Again, we can't have the best. We can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Yet the hypocrite's trying to do this very thing, acting one way on Sunday to please his God and to please his brethren, and acting a different way the rest of the week in order to please himself. And the way to overcome this form of hypocrisy is to stop trying to play the balancing act and get all in for God. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 4, James chapter 4 and at verse 4, James writes and says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, are you going to try to prove God wrong on this? Well, God will make an exception for me. He'll allow me to be friends with the world and be friends with him. Or I can carry on a friendly relationship with the world. And God didn't have to know about that. Now, he's going to know. He's going to know. We have to choose godly character over worldly reputation. We must seek God's glory and not our own. So one way we can overcome hypocrisy, if this is our problem, is stop trying to please men. Quit trying to get the praise of men and strive to please God first and foremost in our lives. Third, we need to practice what we preach. We need to simply live up to what it is that we confess ourselves to be, Christians. Back in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus begins this chapter in condemning the scribes and Pharisees, he says, the scribes and the Pharisees said in Moses' seat, verse 3, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees regard to their actions not matching their teaching. Now, I want you to note that Jesus did not disregard their teaching. If they were teaching the truth, if they were sitting in Moses' seat, that is, they were sitting in that place of instructing the people with regard to the law of Moses, the people were expected to follow the teaching of truth. Truth is truth. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Truth is truth. And we have to follow the truth. The person who would say, well, now hypocrites are in the church as an excuse, that excuse is not valid. Because where we fail to obey the will of God, we'll be held accountable for that. But we must follow the truth, but we are not to follow the actions of the hypocrite. The same thing is true with the life that we live. Remember, the Jews of Romans chapter 2 stood to receive a worse condemnation because they had the law and they taught the law. They had every privilege, but they did not keep the law. The best way to overcome this type of hypocrisy is simply to make sure that our words and our actions are always in harmony with the truth of God's Word. Or simply put, let's practice what we preach. If we claim to be Christians, let's live up to that profession. Something else that could help us to overcome hypocrisy is learning how to judge righteous judgment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. If people of the world know any verse in the Bible, I think they're aware of this one. Judge not that you be not judged. Well, your book says not to judge. Now leave me alone. Well, that's not what the Lord was saying here. The Lord was warning about being hypocritical in our judgments. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Jesus paints a picture for us here, something that'd be very, very humorous. You go into the eye doctor and you need the help from the eye doctor to take a little bitty speck out of your eye, and you look and they've got a big old stick in their eye. And you're going to help me? I don't think so. And so there's the picture that the Lord paints. Here's somebody that has a glaring fault in their life who has the audacity to pull someone else aside and say, let me help you with this little minor detail. Did you notice in verse 5 here what the Lord calls them? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Again, the Scripture is not teaching that we have to wait until we meet moral perfection before we can observe sin in the lives of other people and help them with that. But we must overcome hypocrisy. We need to learn to judge righteous judgment. That's what Jesus called for in John chapter 7 and verse 24. The Jews were condemning him because he was not meeting their pre-thought out mode of what Jesus was supposed to be, what the Messiah was supposed to be. They had this conception of who the Messiah was going to be, and Jesus didn't fit this model. And so they were dismissing him Jesus tells them in John chapter 7, verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And if you and I would do that, perhaps it would help us to overcome the temptation to be hypocritical, to be hypersensitive, to be hypercritical of other people, condemning them of sins that we allow in ourselves or that we allow in our friends and people that we love. Now, we need to judge righteous judgment. We need to apply it consistently and without prejudice and partiality. Timothy is told in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. You see, when we treat one person one way and we treat someone else another way just simply because we like one and we don't like the other, that's being hypocritical. And we need to be righteous in the judgments that we make and the way that we treat other people. We need to be righteous. We need to be just. We need to be fair in doing that. Didn't say it was easy. But you know, when we're constantly giving our friends a break and condemning people that we don't care about, we're being hypocritical, aren't we? We need to judge with righteous judgment. And perhaps to overcome hypocrisy, we just need to get in the habit of telling and living the truth. Because remember, hypocrisy is a form of lying. And if we have a problem with hypocrisy, we really have a problem with lying. We're trying to deceive people. And we need to stop doing that through our words or through our actions or however it is that we're doing this. We need to strive to live openly and honestly with all men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, Paul says of himself and those that he's associated with in taking the collection made by the churches back to the saints, needy saints in Judea, he says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Everything was going to be done above board. Everything was going to be done openly. It was going to be done transparently. That's the way we need to live our lives. We're not trying to hide. We're not trying to be deceptive, but we're trying to live openly, honestly, transparently with all people. And something else that may help is learning to be content with our lives and not trying to please others or get the approval of others. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. You are where you are in your stage of life right now. Don't act like you're not. Don't try to pass yourself off as somebody that has a whole lot more money than you actually do. Or maybe has a whole lot less money than you actually do. Be content with who you are and what you have and be honest with the kind of person that you are. Don't try to pass yourself off as something that you are not. How do we overcome hypocrisy? Well, it all depends in what way we're being a hypocrite or why we feel as if we need to do so. Perhaps we need to repent of sin in our life. Maybe we need to stop trying to please men and put our focus on pleasing God. Maybe we need to practice what we preach. We need to judge righteous judgment. And we need to be in the truth business, living the truth and telling the truth. Remember that the hypocrite was an actor. And acting like someone that we're not, that was fun to do as a child. You know, to dress up in a costume and to pretend like you're a historical figure. Or, well, when we were growing up, we just needed a bath towel and a safety pin. And that was a cape and we could save the world. And dressing up and acting like you're a hero or acting like you're someone else, that's fun to do as a child. Acting a role in a play can be fun, especially for those who are talented. Acting can be an honorable profession. But there's nothing honorable about someone who plays the hypocrite. Let's remember that hypocrisy is a sin that received the Lord's strongest condemnation. It was a purposeful effort to deceive others with regard to our true character and our true motives. It received the Lord's condemnation then, and it will receive the Lord's condemnation today. We find we have a problem with this sin, we need to pray to God for forgiveness, and we need to take the steps that are necessary to overcome this sin. Thank you so much for your kind attention you've given to the study of God's Word this evening. If you need to become a Christian, I want to tell you, don't act like you become a Christian. Become a Christian. Confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and let us baptize you. Immerse you in water for the forgiveness of those sins. If you've done that, but you have sin in your life that needs to be taken care of, take care of it. Whether it be hypocrisy or anything else, repent of that. If you need to take care of that in a public way, we stand ready to help you as well. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.